And this evening we turn to Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to read the whole chapter, but we're going to look at just the first two and a bit verses this evening. The Thessalonian congregation, remember, is in something of a state of crisis. There are challenges from outside in the form of persecution, but there's also turmoil within the congregation. And as we come to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul addresses the issues head on. And as we read this chapter, you'll recognize that Paul has things to say that are puzzling to us. Someone has said that this chapter is the most perplexing of all Paul's writings that have been preserved for us. And so as we read the passage tonight, and as we explore it in coming Lord's Day afternoons and evenings, there may be questions that go unanswered, but we can't misunderstand the conclusion that Paul arrives at in verses 16 and 17. The conclusion of the matter is this: may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts. Paul's words are words that are to be a comfort to the hearts of God's people. We're going to read the whole chapter, and then we'll start this evening to open it up by examining the first two and a bit verses. Will you listen? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. This is the word of our God. Now, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one deceive you in any way. For that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And you know what is restraining him now, so that he may be revealed in his time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan, with all power and false signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Therefore, God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. Now, may the Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. That's God's word. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we ask now that as we come to a passage that is acknowledged to be challenging, difficult, and perplexing, we pray that your Holy Spirit might be our teacher, might be our instructor. And we ask that we might gather from your word the truths that will instruct the minds of your people, the truths that will comfort the hearts of your people, the truths that will shape the behavior of your people as we live in this chaotic and bewildering world. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So the congregation in Thessalonica is in an uproar, and as we read our passage this evening, we discover that the uproar, the confusion, has been caused by some comments that have been made by certain individuals, and those comments have captured the imagination, have gripped the minds of the members of the church. They are perplexed, they are agitated. And let me just review with you the verses that will be our text this evening, because as we move into the chapter, we want to get a sense of a congregation that is in turmoil. What's going on? Where has the congregation gone astray that has caused it to be plunged into the agitation that Paul detects and that Paul is addressing? Listen to verses 1 through 3 again. Now, says Paul, now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together with him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one deceive you in any way. This congregation has found itself led astray by something that someone has said. Words can be very powerful. We were singing earlier from the 122nd Psalm, a psalm that reminds us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, to pray for the peace of the community of God's people to be safeguarded and protected. The peace of God's people can be impaired, can be damaged and harmed by words that are spoken carelessly, words that may be hurtful or deceptive. It's very important that as we pray for the Lord to protect and safeguard the congregations of his people, that we pray specifically that the Lord will guard our lips so that the church's mission will not be eclipsed and thwarted and frustrated because a congregation that ought to be about the work of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus is thrown into turmoil and confusion. Paul's desire is that God will comfort the hearts of his people and establish them in every good work and word. And we sense that the turmoil that has gripped the congregation, the peace that has been disturbed, is a it's a disruption that has impaired the speaking and the acting of the congregation in Thessalonica. Elders and deacons at the time of their ordination promised to seek the purity, the peace, and the unity of the church. Those things are important. Just ask Paul. In the case of the Thessalonians, the uproar has been caused by some ideas relating to the return of the Lord Jesus, spoken of in verse 2. This congregation in Thessalonica has got a bad case of end times angst. They're wondering about the return of the Lord Jesus. They're wondering what the future holds, how it's going to play out. And this evening, Paul diagnoses the problem and begins to give some practical advice on how to avoid end times angst and to avoid being disturbed by it. Specifically, Paul warns the Thessalonians, and the Holy Spirit warns us that to heed the wrong voices is really to heed the wrong voices is a recipe for anxiety, distress, agitation, and turmoil. So we can walk through our portion of Scripture this evening. We're going to hear a reassuring tone of a voice. In verse 1, we're going to see Paul pinpoint a false source of instruction and then diagnose on the part of the Thessalonians a credulous frame of mind. They were gullible. So three ingredients that are in play in the situation in Thessalonica. First of all, in verse 1, Paul addresses this agitated congregation using a reassuring tone of address. It's a reassuring tone of voice. These Christians are agitated, they are distressed, and Paul addresses them in a way that's reassuring. And that's important right off the bat. We encounter people in the secular environment, we encounter people in the community of the saints who are agitated and who are distressed. It's important for us that God's word dwell in us richly so that we are able to speak words that are reassuring. words that are appropriate, that the heritage of God's people is to experience peace through knowing the truth. We heard Isaiah speak God's words, God addressing the community of the redeemed in Isaiah 54, verse 13, and saying, "All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children." And you see what the prophet is saying. The community of God's people, the children of God's people, are instructed, they're taught by the Lord, and great will be their peace. I'm struck by the statistics and the polls and all the rest of it that I see that describe the great degree of mental difficulties being experienced by young people because they are in a whirlwind of fearful reporting, fearful agitation, fearful lobbying. The people of God, what a precious thing it is that in the community of God's people, as we instruct our children, we remind them that God is in control. We remind them that God is the protector of his people. We talk with our children about their fears, but we bring the truth of God's word to bear on the anxieties that they experience. And of course, what's good for children is good for adults as well. It's important for us to be instructed by God's word so that we not be fearful. Fear is one of the products of the fall. Fallen people live in a world that is fearful and frightening. It's alarming and distressing. As we learn God's truth, we hear words that bring peace and give comfort. A peace, remember that Jesus says, his peace is not the peace that the world gives. His peace is a peace that passes understanding. People who are instructed in God's truth know God's peace. Jesus, says Paul, writing to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17, Jesus has come and preached peace to those who are far off and peace to those who are near. There's the beauty of the gospel. Paul's speaking of those who were near, thinking perhaps of Jewish individuals who had a heritage in God's Old Testament revelation, God's Old Testament instruction, and then of Gentiles as well, those who are far off. And Jesus comes preaching peace, bringing words of comfort, bringing words of reassurance, bringing words of reconciliation. And of course, we know that when Paul speaks of Jesus coming and preaching peace, we know that Paul's pointing to the pulpit ministry that was exercised in Ephesus, because a faithful pulpit ministry is one through which the Lord Jesus speaks to his people, speaks words of peace. We heard the salutation that Paul has used both in 1 Thessalonians and again in 2 Thessalonians, the salutation, peace, peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a precious thing, as we've said before, as the salutation is pronounced at the beginning of a worship service, we are reminded that Jesus has reconciled us to God by the blood of his cross. So that as we come into the presence of God, we come into the presence of a God who receives us amicably, who receives us lovingly because we have been reconciled. Jesus is our peace. And so Paul speaks to these Thessalonians, and he says at the end of the verse, he says, "We ask you, brothers." Now, in the Greek, that's actually right at the beginning of verse 1. "We ask you, brothers," and then he goes on concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus. And elsewhere in Paul's letters to the Thessalonians, he has exhorted, he has urged. But now he speaks gently. He says, "We're asking you." This is a gentle tone of it. There's a tender tone of voice. We hear him address them as brothers and sisters. And almost by his manner, Paul's saying, "Just take a deep breath. Just take a deep breath." Proverbs 12, verse 18 says, "The tongue of the wise brings healing." And of course, it's the Lord who is our source of wisdom. He instructs us through his word. It's Jesus in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom. And the Lord Jesus gives to us wisdom by his spirit, through his word, so that we can speak words of comfort to those who are distressed and agitated. That's the language, the vocabulary of the community of God's people. And let me just contrast that with what you're going to find in the blogosphere, what you're going to find on the internet, where the intent is to stir you up, to whip you up, to agitate you, to alarm you, to get you to click on the next link, to get you wound up, to get you invested in a cause, to get you whipped up, to make you fearful, agitated, frightened, and alarmed. Jesus speaks words of truth and peace. Peace be unto you. You believe in God, believe also in me. Let not your hearts be troubled. And Paul highlights what's certain, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together with him. Whatever else might happen, when Jesus returns, we will be gathered together with him. We will be with the Lord, and that, says Paul elsewhere, that is better by far. So whatever else happens, God's people can be sure that when Jesus returns, we will be with him. Jesus, we heard in our call to worship, saying in John chapter 14, he will come to receive us to himself, so that where he is, there we will be also. So we know how this ends. So Paul's saying, we know how it ends. Just take a deep breath. Now, let me just give you the spoiler alert at this point. Paul is going to go on into some detail that's challenging, that I'm not going to be able to explain to you either tonight or in weeks to come. But there are a couple of things that we can be certain about. One is that the Thessalonians were listening to a false source of instruction, and Paul refers to that in verse 2. Paul himself is not exactly sure where the Thessalonians have been getting their information, but they've been listening to the wrong sources. He speaks of a spirit, referring perhaps to those who claim to be prophets. The Lord told me to tell you this. God, the Holy Spirit, spoke to me, so I'm speaking to you truth from God, but it actually was not truth from God. Maybe that's what's going on. Maybe it's someone who's just putting out false information, the spoken word, or a letter purporting to be from Paul. Someone wrote a letter and signed Paul's name on it, and now there's turmoil in the congregation. But that message that has caused such distress and agitation, it's false. That's all there is to it. It is fake news. And we live in an era of fake news. And you and I need to be careful who we listen to. We need to be careful who has our ears. There's a lot of fake news out there. And as you hear Paul speak of those who profess to be guided by the Spirit, or those who would set themselves up as authorities, or those who would be willing to forge Paul's signature and assume his identity, there's Paul suspects some identity theft going on. We know all about it. But we need to be on our guard, because the fakers, the false news generators, are very plausible, very credible, very pervasive. So be very careful. Paul describes its effects very graphically. He says in verse 2, don't be shaken in your mind. Don't be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed. And here's the effect that the fake news is having on them. It's causing them to be shaken in their minds. They've had a shock that has left them rattled. And you've clicked on the link and you've read the article. You've said, really, this is awful. This is how can they do this? How can this be happening? Be careful. Be very careful. Paul sees them being... there's a piece of unsettling information that has left them agitated. It's you see the mallet striking a gong, and you hear the great big kind of gong sound, and then the reverberations that just continue to go on, and the Thessalonians are whipped up. John Stott, commenting on this, just uses a delightful Briticism. He says, they are in a flap. They're in a flap about that. Whatever they've heard, it's put them in a flap. And then says Paul, not only are they agitated in mind, they're shaken. It's the term that was sometimes used to describe ships that have been forced from their moorings by the force of a storm. There's a ship safely at anchor, and now comes the storm, and the ship's being tossed about, and then the anchor is dragged, or the cable snaps, and now the ship is being swept away in a way that's dangerous. And here the Thessalonians are. They're being shaken in mind. They're being alarmed. They're being agitated. And Paul's speaking to them. Remember the words of Psalm 16, where in verse 4, David, who experienced all kinds of distressing news from all kinds of quarters, David says, "I've set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken." So it's good for us to remember that God's people have the Lord at the right hand. Paul tells us that you and I need to receive a steady diet of good instruction from God's word, and remember his words in Ephesians 4 verse 14, so that we will no longer be like children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Paul says we're not to be like children. We're not to be tossed around like ships on a turbulent sea. We're to be solidly anchored to the truth of God's word. And that's good news for us. We need, brothers and sisters, we need to remember that we are in a sea of misinformation, of alarming information, of false information. We keep the Lord at our right hand. We listen to the words of comfort, peace, and reassurance that God speaks to us in his word. We take those words on our lips to encourage one another. And of course, a part of the problem in Thessalonica was that the Thessalonians had a credulous frame of mind. And that comes out in verse 2 and into verse 3, Paul identifies the fake news that was reverberating through the congregation and causing such an uproar. The piece of fake news that they had heard was that the Lord had already returned. Now, there's just a little bit of perverseness in that, because when we read 1 Thessalonians, that was an issue in 1 Thessalonians as well. But the congregation at that point was being agitated because they thought that Jesus hadn't returned soon enough. And remember, there were some believers had died, and they were concerned, what happens to those believers who have died because Jesus hasn't come soon enough? And now we come to 2 Thessalonians, and the congregation is concerned because Jesus has come too soon. We weren't ready. He's come, and somehow we missed it. And you can see how much they need to be properly grounded in God's truth. And we remember how Paul picks up on the same kind of issue again when he writes to Timothy many, many years later in 2 Timothy 2 verse 18, and says that some have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened. They're upsetting the faith of some. There's some at the time, some in Timothy's congregation were being agitated because people were saying the resurrection has already happened. There's a lot of misinformation out there about the Lord Jesus' return. And we think of the Charles Russell, the founder of the Jehovah's Witnesses, who says that Jesus came in 1914. He came invisibly. That's why you didn't notice it, but he came in 1914. Now, that happens to not be what the Bible says, because the Bible tells us that when Jesus returns, you will not miss it. You will know when Jesus returns. Isn't that what Jesus himself says in Matthew 24? He says, if they say to you, look, he's in the wilderness, don't go out. And if they say, look, he's in the inner room, don't believe it, for as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. When Jesus returns, you'll see it for yourself. And I'm pretty sure that Paul must have taught the Thessalonians that when he instructed them, when he taught them. He would certainly have relayed to them the truth that Jesus himself articulated, that when the Savior returns, every eye will see him. But the problem was the Thessalonians had a credible, gullible frame of mind, because Paul says they were quickly shaken.
they were quickly shaken. This rumor, this false teaching came along, and they grabbed onto it. They didn't question it. Paul says in verse 3, let no one deceive you in any way. You see, these Christians, they latched onto something quickly. Paul has already told them back in chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians, test the spirits. Test the spirits. Test everything you hear. The Bereans, you remember, who tested things against God's word. But the Thessalonians, now we discover them, they're leaping on a bandwagon. They're allowing themselves to be quickly shaken. They're not looking for two or three witnesses. They're clicking on forward, and off it goes, a piece of information. They're sending it around their friends. They're not taking the time to do the fact check. They're not taking the time to do due diligence. They are unquestioningly grabbing onto falsehood, and they're circulating it, and it's unhealthy for the whole congregation. They failed the Berean test. The Bereans, who listened to their teachers, listened to Paul and his missionary team, and then went back and checked it against Scripture. And now here the Thessalonians, who didn't do that diligent study, who didn't put in the effort, they're grabbing onto false teaching, and it's causing them to be agitated and alarmed, and they're spreading it around. So there's a whole congregation that's in turmoil. The prophet Isaiah says in chapter 8, verse 20, go to the teaching, go to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, it's because they have no dawn, or as the King James Version puts it very vividly, there is no light in them. When you hear something, go to God's word, go to the prophets, go to the testimony. Does what you hear agree with that? If not, disregard it, dismiss it. And so Paul addresses the Thessalonians. He starts to get into this very difficult subject, but he does so by gently rebuking their gullibility. He does so by gently pointing out that they are heeding people they ought not to pay attention to. And he reminds them that Jesus speaks words of truth that bring peace. And we're glad for that. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word of yours. We thank you that it is the living and active word of God. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who bears witness to it in our hearts. We pray that we might not be quickly shaken in mind, that we might not allow ourselves to be agitated by falsehood, by rumor, by wrong information. We pray that we would be a people discerning, that we would be a people ever vigilant so as not to be deceived, that we would be a people who are solidly founded on your truth. How firm a foundation, you saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. We thank you for that excellent word that provides us with a solid, firm foundation. And we do so in the name of Jesus, our great prophet, who by his word and spirit makes known to us your will for our salvation. Amen. We're going to sing praise, and our praise is in the words of Red Trinity Hymnal number 684. My times are in thy hand, my God, I wish them there. Some words based on Psalm 31. Will you rise to give praise?